It's a setup for defeat. All right, let me finish this. He said, acts according to his will, which is his word, and he says, he hears us. You don't ever have to doubt whether God heard you when you ask according to his will, which is his word. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have attained the request made of him. I know that when I pray according to his will, which is his word, I know he's heard me. But greater than that, I know he's already answered me. I already got it. So when I give the amen, get up off my knees from my prayer time, I can check it off the list. It's done. Because he says, I already got it. When we pray, we don't pray our problems. My boss don't like me. They won't give me no pay raise. The car won't crank. He knows. Don't pray your problems. Pray the promise. Now, God, that car out there won't crank. But you said you'll supply all my needs. Now, I need a ride. According to your riches in glory. You said the righteous won't be forsaken. Nor their seed gotta beg for bread. You said you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You praying his will now. You putting the word back on God. And God loves it when you give him his word, because he says in the Bible, he says, try me. Prove me now. Put me to the test. You said all things gonna work together for my good. And I love you, Lord. It don't feel good. It don't look good, but I know good's coming. Hallelujah. So you pray according to, but you can't pray that if you don't know the word. Right? Amen. Bible study Wednesday night, 7 o'clock p.m. Bring your Bible. Come. The fourth thing that hurts us is a failure to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:3 tells us, keep your heart with all vigilance. From it flows the issues of life. Show me your issues, and I'll show you your heart. Whatever goes on in your life consistently is birthed out of the state of your heart. If you always find yourself in conflict, if you're always finding yourself in a mess, because you got a messy heart, you keep drawing trouble. If it keeps happening, why everybody always picking on me? No. You got to change your heart. Yeah. You always running out, don't have enough to meet at the end of the month. You don't have a money problem. Heart problem. Because we like to buy our wants, and then we like to beg our needs. We go buy what we want, then we beg God. God, light bill due. And the rent is too. I said, you had enough to pay that. Yeah, go to your closet. Let me show you light bill. Let me show you rent. Go to your closet. Look down at them boots you got. Light bill, rent. Uh-huh. You falling, old girl, let me fool you. Spend your rent money and you. Oh, Lord. Let me tell you what you ought to do. I'm going to help you now. I'm going to help you. If you get weak and you end up doing that, you shopping with old girl and bought that stuff, know your bills due and know you ain't got the money. Let me tell you, hold your receipt. Go home with girlfriend, say, girl, I'll see you later. I see you later. Soon as they get, you go back to the mall. Say, here, give me my money back. Give me my rent money back. Give me. Ain't no shame in your game when you hold your course. But you got to guard your heart. And you guard your heart by what you allow people to speak into your life, what you hear, and what you see. Told you them reality shows, you better cut back on them. Yeah, because that's not real. Cookie ain't real. Lucius ain't real. They in jail, dead. They dead for real, yeah. Yeah, you follow all that, yeah. The haves and the have-nots, you the have-nots. They got money. They on TV. They got money. You can't come to Bible study for you scared you're going to miss something. And the sad thing, you got a DVR, VCR, record the blessed thing if you got to have it. But come get the word. Guard your heart. Folk call you with mess, especially church mess. Girl, you heard? You heard what they done down there? You know what that old new preacher down there, you know. Cold word, as soon as they say preacher, you say, I gotta go, girl. Hang up the phone. No, but you got itchy ears. Come on, girl, give it to me. Then you got to call somebody. Then they got to call. Then you come up in here looking. Somebody done buzz you. I pass you by. Good morning. Good morning. What's wrong with you? You don't love God? I love God. What's wrong with you? All right, stop playing. Guard your heart. And the fifth one and the final thing, that the hurdle we overcome, which is the biggie, is a lack of faith. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, your faith can't be what it ought to be if you don't have the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to get the word in order to increase your faith. You got to have the word in order to be in God's will. In the beginning was the what? Word. Everything starts right there with the word. Amen? All right. Now, those are hurdles. Today, I'm ready to preach. Y'all ready? All right. We're going to deal with hindrances, those things that hinder our prayer lives that we do to ourselves that keeps it from being effective and powerful. And if we rid ourselves of these things, you will see that our prayer life will get better. The first thing is, we fail to please God. We fail to please the Lord. 1 John 3 and 22 states, and we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. We must have a mindset where the first priority for us is to please God. Seek first the kingdom of God. God is pleased when we are obedient to his word. 1 Samuel 15 and 22 declares, surely to obey is better than sacrifice. We obey God's word not because of its benefit, but we obey it because it pleases the Lord. That's why you ought to be tithers. Don't get quiet now. Not because you have a financial need. Tithing is an indication that you have a heart to please and obey the Lord. We must be unselfishly overcomers. Move yourself out of the way. God says, I got you. Trust me. Obey me. Do what I ask you to do and watch me work on your behalf. When we are in obedience, it pleases God. When a person's ways pleases the Lord, he'll make even your enemies be at peace with you. Whatever is fighting you, when you please God, God will make that thing be at peace with you. Health fighting you, your enemy, he'll make it be at peace with you. Whatever it is, when you please him, he will make that thing be at peace with you. The second hindrance is doing evil. First Peter 3 and 12 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, let me define evil. Evil is an act of ill will that seeks to cause harm, misfortune, or destruction. If you got evil in your heart, you're wasting your time praying to the Lord. He will not hear you. He will not respond to you. God sees any inkling of evil in your heart. His face is turned away. In the face of evil, when our flesh seeks to do evil, we've got to respond according to God's word. 1 Peter 3 and 9 says, do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you recall that you might inherit a blessing. All right, let me break it down. I think y'all got it. When they do you wrong, don't repay them with wrong. But be kind. Be loving. The Bible says that's like heaping live coals of love on their head. You don't get them back now. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Some things you got to get out of the way. And you got to clear your heart. Because man looks at the outside. Guess where God is looking? He's looking at the heart. And if you've done it, repent of it. Lord, I'm sorry. Hear my prayer. But don't allow your flesh to participate in an evil act. Amen? The third hurdle that gets us, a hindrance that gets us, is improper motives. James 4:3 declares, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on pleasures. The Bible informs us that God looks at our heart, and God looks at our heart to see the intentions, the motives of our ways. When we pray and petition God for anything, God is looking. Why is that your request? What's the motive? And God will base your motive as to whether you're asking right or asking wrong. You see, our goal to be blessed is not to blow up, not to be Mr. or Mrs. Big Stuff. But we should desire to be blessed so that we can be a blessing. Did y'all hear me? Your motive to be blessed should be so that I can be a blessing. Because God's got to use somebody in the earth to get a blessing to somebody who stands in need. And your heart's desire ought to be, God, make me the man. Make me the woman. Bless me so that I can bless somebody else. You remember you used to hitch a ride? You going my way? I need a ride to church. Folk picking you up, bringing you to church. Then your fortunes change. Got a nice car. You won't pick nobody up. Ain't gonna mess up my car. Then you get your car and your pocket way on the other side of the parking lot. That ain't gonna hit my car. Wrong motive. Because now the blessing has become your God. Amen? Check your motive. We are blessed to be a blessing. And then the final hindrance, y'all tie it? All right. The last hindrance is this. We miss out on our blessings and our prayers go unanswered because we lose heart. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season we'll reap a harvest if we do not lose heart. Probably the greatest reason that some prayers go unanswered is because so many of God's children give up praying and believing God's going to answer their prayers. As long as we have the promise of God, you got to put on patience and you got to be persistent. For the Bible tells us in Hebrews 6 and 12, so that we may not become sluggards, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Those who come to Bible study will tell you that we've dealt with patience. And patience is an added incentive to your faith to help you endure and hold your course for a long-term journey. You got to have patience. And the way you possess patience is when you pray. You put on patience. When you pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I put on patience today to face every circumstance and situation that approach me this day. You put it on like you put on your clothes. Don't leave home without patience. And when you put it on, you're going to get tested. Somebody's going to cut in front of you. You're in a rush, they're going to drive slow. But you got to put it on. Don't let your flesh rise up. Don't communicate with your middle finger. Don't you say them words that on the tip of your tongue. But while they drive slow, you say, I bless the Lord at all times. The race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. To the one who endures. Because I tell you, if you get impatient, run around them and driving fast, guess what? The man going to catch you. I guarantee you he's going to catch you. Pull you over. Write you a ticket where you won't have room enough to receive. Some of y'all catch that later. But you got to put on patience. You see, we can't give up because the Bible says in due season, we will reap if we don't quit. That's why the Bible says we've got to imitate those who held on to their faith. Hannah had a womb that would not work, and the women ridiculed her. But she prayed for a son. And she prayed when it looks like nothing else would happen. But she was blessed because her due season came. Daniel in the lion's den went through trial and tribulation. But he stood in faith with patience, knowing that in due season, deliverance would come. If you stand and if you stay in prayer, due season will come. But you got to be persistent and you got to be consistent. And you can't give up. Somebody say, don't give up. I'm going to leave you with this story of how one night, a man was sleeping in his cabin when suddenly his room was filled with a light and God appeared. And God told the man he had to work for him. He had work for him to do. And he showed him a large boulder, a rock, in front of his cabin. And God explained to the man that he was to push against the rock with all his might. The man did what God told him to do. Day after day, for many years. He toiled from sun up to sundown, every day shoulder square, and he pushed against this massive rock. And each night he went to bed sore, worn out, feeling that his whole day was spent in vain. And he was beginning to show signs of discouragement, and the enemy came and began to put thoughts in the man's mind. The devil told him, "Dude, you've been pushing that rock a long time, and it hadn't budged. Why kill yourself over this? You can never move it." And he gave the man the impression that the task was impossible and that he was a failure. Those thoughts discouraged him. "Why kill myself?" he said. I know what I'll do. From now on, I'll just get my time in. Instead of trying to move the rock, I'll just put my hands on it and let the time go by." And this is what he planned to do, but he decided before he put his plan into action, he'd pray to God one more time. Prayed to God, and he told God how he felt. And then God came to him and said, "My friend, when I asked you to serve me and you accepted, I told you that your task was to push against the rock with all your strength. And you've done that. Never once did I mention to you that I expected you to move the rock. Your task was to push. Now you come to me with your strength spent, thinking that you are a failure. But you're not." He said, "Look at yourself. Your arms are strong and muscularly built. Your back is firm. Your legs are massive and hard. Through opposition, you have grown much, and your abilities now surpass that which you used to have. Yet you haven't moved the rock. But your calling was to be obedient and to push by exercising your faith. And you've done that, my friend. I wanted you to push the rock, but it's my job," God said, "to move the rock." And so at times we hear from God when we have used our gifts and when it looks like our work is in vain. By all means, we ought to exercise our faith, but we always got to remember, it's God's job to move mountains. So when everything seems wrong, just push. When your job lays you off, just push. When folk act funny with you and don't want to help you when you used to help them, just push. When your money gets funny and your change is strange, just push. When folk don't understand what you do and why you do what you do, just push. And the Lord told the man, when you push, it means to pray until something happens. I wonder in the house today, do Do I have any pushers in the house who knows how to pray until something happens? Call on the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he's yet near. Is there anybody here got a pushing spirit? When the devil comes against your home, push, pray until something happens. When life knocks you down, don't just stay down. We fall down, but good God Almighty, we get up, push. Do I have any pushers in the house today? Somebody say push. When life gets dark like a million midnights, just push. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Push. At a snowfall, push. Somebody say push. Push. Push until the drug dealer is delivered. Push until the prodigal child comes home. Push until cancer is destroyed. Push till your home is brought back together. Push until you get the promotion. Push. God's got a job for you. Push. You've been putting in application after application. Nobody is responding. You done got discouraged. You done threw in the towel. Unemployment done run out. And you're standing there wondering, Lord, what shall I do? You keep pushing. You keep pushing because it's only a test. It's a test to give you a testimony. Amen. And your testimony has got to be this. God, when you bless me, I will stand for those who've going through what I've been through. I'll let them know. I've been trying this thing for 5 years before God opened up a door. And you have to encourage their hearts. Let them know, don't you give up. Don't you surrender. I went through what I went through because God knew there'd be a day that you need somebody to bless your life. You go through what you go through to be a blessing, to be a blessing. Push. Push, church. Push. We're in the season of Lent. And now it is our time to place our prayers on the altar in such a way that we stand on our faith, knowing that in this 40-day journey, I believe a turnaround is going to happen. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? I said, do you believe that?